Les colloques du Collège de France.
Good morning, everyone. I'm not going to speak in two languages. I'm going to speak in English in this panel. So I'm very happy to open this amazing conference about codicology and to welcome Claudia Collini as the first speaker this morning. Claudia Collini is a junior professor in archaeometry at the Institute for Archaeology and Cultural History of the Ancient Mediterranean and head of the mobile lab of the Cluster of Excellence Understanding Written Artifacts in the University of Hamburg. She has a background in archaeometry and book conservator and is specialized in Islamic manuscripts and their materials. Her current research projects focus on coexistence of different writing supports, inks, and colors in the early centuries of Islamic Egypt. In 2018, she completed her doctorate in archaeometry at the CSMC with a thesis entitled From Recipes to Material Analysis, the Arabic Tradition of Black Inks and Paper Coatings, 9th to 20th Century. Then she worked at the Federal Institute for Material Research and Testing in Berlin. Thank you very much for being here. And you have 20 minutes, and then we will do the discussion at the end of your talk. Thank you.
So good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you very much for the organizers for having invited me here. It's an honor for me to open this colloquia. And I hope this small overview into the work of the Mobile Lab and how we interact together with the scholars from the humanities will be interesting for you. I would like to highlight the fact that this talk that I'm presenting is done together with my colleagues Alba Fedeli and my students Giuseppe Marotta and Samia Sattiamani, who conducted part of the experiments and part of the analysis that you will see here. So starting, being the first talk in a conference dedicated to the book in the Muslim world, I thought I would start with a small provocative thought of what is a book. And in terms of codicology, a book is defined by Denis Musarel as a portable collection of elements with a flat surface where a text can be durably written. And this, of course, includes the codex, but also different kinds of structures such as booklets, but also stacked folio with or without a binding, and it can even be extended to palm leaf manuscripts, for instance, or tablets, perhaps, even wooden tablets, wax tablets. So it is already a very broad definition. However, book and media studies theory are proposing to push the meaning of the book beyond the physical object, delving into the role that he has as a communication tool. So basically, there is this dichotomy, the book as a physical object, but the book intended as a tool that is bringing a message to the world. And this, of course, changes a little bit the picture, because then a lot of different kinds of forms can enter into the into the picture, because not just codices or these kind of forms that I showed you before, but also scrolls and clay tablets and single leaves even could fit into this concept of the book as a communication tool. But if we look into early Qurans, which is the topic of my talk, then what we see is that the early Qurans can be shaped in different forms, but normally they are in the form of a codex, and they can be either in landscape or portrait orientation, can have different dimensions, small ones, big ones. But what is also interesting is that it's not often just a book, one volume, in one volume, but the Quran is often spread into a multi-volume set. And one example is, for instance, the Amazur Quran, which is in Cambridge and is right now in one a book only, but it was originally in 30 volumes. And there are also other divisions possible, for instance, in 2, 4, or even 20 volumes. And even when the Qurans are not in a multi-volume set, the texts are often bearing marks of this division in 30, 60, 7 parts, depending on which division is considered. The early Qurans are mostly written on parchment and mostly written with iron gold link. This is not 100% proof, because we need to do the analysis in order to be sure that they are really the majority with iron gold links, but orientatively, the majority are written with this kind of material. I will talk about two case studies in this talk, and the first is an example of this idea of Qurans being in multi-volume. So these codices, called in Scrinio 153A, is kept at the University Library in Hamburg, and it is a small booklet at the moment that has 10 folia of a Quranic manuscript, which is paleographically dated to the second half of the 9th century CE. Since it is the script style is defined as the Roche tree. It is in a landscape format. It measures 9 per 15 centimeter, and it consists of parchment folia that are written with iron gold ink, and it is dotted with different colors, with cinnabar, lapis lazuli, Pararealgar and verdigris, respectively, for red, blue, yellow, and green. And the results of the analysis on these manuscripts are presented in this paper that is about to be published. This Quran was originally part of a multi-volume set. It was likely the 23rd Juz of 30. We can say that because we have the carpet page, and after that it follows the beginning of the 23rd Juz, although, to be fair, it actually starts with the last verse of the 22nd Juz. I'm sorry for the font, somehow it doesn't look very well, but okay. I hope you can still see it correctly. The manuscript was likely endowed, as it is marked here. And today, however, it is, as I said, only 10 folio are left, and this is how it looked like. What it is interesting to say is that the folia are now completely in disarray. It is now one choir only, but originally it was likely two choirs, because what we see is that we still have two bifolia, and those were actually, the text continues here. So for this reason, we can say that we likely have two choirs and not only one. Yeah. And the other reason why we can say that the order is was clearly a different one in respect of what it was before is because we can see the ink transfer between of the dots that were left their mark. Probably they were the pages were folded when the inks were still wet. And so we can see the transfer between the pages. And so this is how they were originally meant to be. This is 3 verso, and this is what is now 7 verso. So of course, there is a mistake in the actual order of the folio. And okay. During the course of time, the manuscript was then was damaged and lost some folia. And so, as I mentioned before, there are two lacuna in the order of the folia. And one of these lacuna, this one, has been filled later on this way. So we know that there was, at a certain point, the page was missing, or the pages were missing, and the content was then added this way. And what is interesting to see, I'm not sure you can see it very well from here, but there is a small stub here, and this stub, the ink of this addition, goes on top of the stub. I'm not sure you can see probably. This means that the stub was there before the writing was the additional writing was added, and it is perhaps a sign that the book was repaired at a certain point with the addition of some parchment stub to keep the folia in place. And then finally, it entered the library of Abraham Hinkelsmann, as we know from the note on the carpet page. And then he passes several hands in the following years, and it finally reached the university library in Hamburg in 732. Sometimes during this period of time, it was rebound, and it was rebound by someone that clearly had no idea how the folio needed to be ordered, or had no will to put to keep the folio in the correct order. And this is the state we find it in at the moment. But what I said before is that Qurans, early Qurans, are normally written on parchment and with iron gall ink, which is correct. But there exist some excerpts of Quran on fragments, on papyrus fragments. And however, can we talk about book in this case? Because what we have is mostly links, probably to talisman or writing exercises. We have only small, short texts, So that's a question, an open question, if we can talk about books here or not. I leave it open. But I have an exception for you. Which is Papyrus Hamburg Arab 68. And this is an exception, perhaps, because it is a booklet, or at least it is a choir. This we know for sure. But the hypothesis is that this small choir, which contains the Surah 2, corresponding to the cow, The hypothesis that Mathieu Tillieu and Naïm van Tiegen advanced in their edition in 2024 is that the booklet, this was an autonomous booklet that was circulating like this. So it was not the entire Quran, so we don't have here a choir from the Quran, but what we have here is really something that was circulating autonomously. I didn't say that. What I didn't say is that this booklet is dated paleographically to the 7th to the 8th century, and it consists of 7 bifolia that are folded to form a single choir. Sorry, I need to. So, in order to assess the stages of production of this booklet or of this choir, we analyzed several parts of its writing. We analyzed the the main ink, of course, but we focus especially on some of the diacritical dots that are used to distinguish the homographs. We analyze the signs that are used to mark, the symbols that are used to mark the division, the verse division, which are, you have some circle with dots, but also dashes, because there are different signs to mark the 5 and the 10 verses. And we analyze the end of the surah, which is marked by a decorated handband and then is followed by a short prayer text. When I say we analyzed, I mean we analyzed with scientific method. We have a laboratory at the Center for the Study of Manuscript Cultures, where I work, that we used for the analysis of the materials of manuscripts. And in this case, we apply these three methods, which is basically our standard protocol for ink analysis. We start with a UV visible near infrared reflectography carried out with a digital microscope. It's called DinoLight, as you can see here. It is a small microscope that has different illuminations, and we use this for a first screening of the ink, because different inks act differently under different lights. So basically, you may know that there are different kinds of inks. There is carbon ink, iron gold ink, and plant ink that were used through the course of history, and they have different properties. Carbon ink remains opaque under UV and infrared illumination. Iron gold ink tend to disappear at higher wavelengths in the infrared, and the same goes for plant ink. They do change at different, opacity, however, changes at different wavelengths. So with this, we can start discriminating the various ink. And then we have XRF, X-ray fluorescence, which we use to observe, to analyze the elements that are present within the object, in particular within the ink. Of course, if we have an iron gold ink, we expect to have iron associated with other metals sometimes. And if we have carbon ink, we do not expect to see anything, because with XRF we cannot see carbon, but Sometimes there are other elements that can be found within the ink that can come from impurities or from the inkwell, for instance. If you have a metallic inkwell, some of the metals can solubilize in your ink. So we can find traces, elemental traces, with this, even in carbon ink. And then finally, we have Raman spectroscopy, which we use to identify the molecules. And with this, we can see both carbon inks and iron gold ink, but it's a punctual analysis, while with this, we can image and scan a portion of text. So it's fast. And the result of the analysis that we conducted on this manuscript have been published in the proceeding of a conference few years ago. There you go. So what are the results? I still have 5 minutes? Yes. Okay. The first result is that, I'm sorry, that was, okay, there. We have the analysis that we conducted with the Dino, and you can see that in the infrared, the ink maintains its opacity. Of course, we didn't analyze only just one point, but several. And therefore, and together with this, we did Raman, and we found out that we are dealing with the carbon ink. But we did also point analysis of the inks, and we found out that there is a little bit of copper that shows up exclusively in the ink. Therefore, we did the analysis of the various parts that I mentioned before with the XRF scanning that gave us the map of the elements. And you can see, comparing the writing and the map of the copper, that there is a correlation between the copper and the writing and the text. Again, in this case, the scale that we have here is is a relative scale. So it seems that there is a lot of copper, but it's not the case. So what you see here are really, really a tiny quantity, which, as I mentioned, it's likely coming from a contamination from the inkwell. We checked on the diacritical dots, and we see we have the same correlation that we saw in the text. So we can say that they were done with the same, possibly with the same ink. And we checked the verse dividers. And here it's a bit more difficult because the signal is so the result is a little bit inconclusive because the thin stroke of this part and there is a lot of contribution coming from the back as well, and the copper, as I said, is the signal is very low, so it doesn't seem to be here, but it is a bit difficult to say for sure that there is no copper in these small signs. However, what it is pretty convincing is that for sure there is no copper in the decoration, and there is also no copper on the prayer text. This is the contribution from the back. So to conclude this part, what we can say is that there are two stages of production, the main text and the diacritics that were done with carbon ink with copper, and the decoration, the prayer, and possibly the symbols for the verse separation that seems to have been done with a pure carbon ink. So we have two different inks on this booklet. And The fact that there is the addition of this decorative motif and the prayer in the part that was left blank after the ending of Surah 2 is, in my opinion, strongly support the hypothesis of this being an autonomous booklet, perhaps not from the very beginning, but at least one when this part were added. And another question that I actually leave to the floor, since you are for sure many of you are experts in the Quran, and the fact that we have a writing support and an ink that is so different from the other cases of that we normally see from the other Qurans, so parchment and iron gold ink. Might this be linked to the fact that this is just one surah and it was circulating perhaps in different, was used in a different context than the other religious books that we are more familiar with? And finally, to conclude, why did I talk about booklets and multi-volumes? I think that it's important to think when we are dealing with the Quranic book that it's not just one book in the form of one volume, but perhaps it's one book in the form of multi-volumes, or even in the form of some parts can even circulate in the form of booklets. And I hope that this multidisciplinary approach, combining material analysis, codicology, and philology, resonates with you, and that you will see it as a valuable method for the study of the history of the book. And with this, I thank you. And I also thank Katrin Jansvenig, Mathieu Thier, and M. Van Tiegen for their work and having allowed us to analyze the manuscript. Thank you, and you, thank you.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.